the Servant Leadership Institute podcast, where today we feature a conversation between Robin Swift, president of the Institute, and Melissa Budvarson, manager of employee engagement for Datron World Communications. Robin and Melissa will discuss the dynamics of human resources in a servant-led organization and the joys and challenges of building employee engagement.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to our conversation about the practice of servant leadership. You're in for a treat today as we have someone on the front lines of a servant-led organization serving as manager of employee engagement at Datron World Communications in Vista, California. Melissa Budvarson, great to have you with us today, Melissa.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
I'm Robin Swift, and I'm your chief guide through this conversation, and I serve as president of the Servant Leadership Institute. And Melissa, I'm so excited to have you here today because you're actually doing this day in, day out on the front lines as manager of employee engagement. And how is that title different than, say, HR manager?
Well, I think it still encompasses all the routine HR things that people think of when they think of human resources. But it's both a title and a description of what my role and the role of the department is. So the employee engagement department is here as more than just a resource for employees. It's our goal is to engage employees in all areas of the employee life cycle, from new hire to benefits to career path, conflict resolution, growth, both personally and professionally. So it's really engaging in the employees and working with them and making them feel that we're more than just providing rules and policies. We're here to help them along the way.
So that's a shift. The position was previously titled HR manager. Did you influence that shift in the title, or how did that come about?
Our CEO went to a meeting with a bunch of other CEOs in the area, and they brought up changing the title of the department to reflect more of what they're actually doing, and that idea was brought back to me, and I actually looked into it and thought about what my role is and what I really want to have people take away from their interactions with me, and that's where I came up with employee engagement. And so we changed that about a year ago, and it's really been embraced by the organization, and I think it really makes more sense of what my role is and the role of the department in helping employees.
I think that's fantastic. In fact, the last time I saw you was at the Datron Ice Cream Social.
Yes.
And so that was really fun. And obviously people were excited, you know, take a break from work. You know, we all work hard and enjoy one another. What are ways that you're currently working on to improve employee engagement?
We're trying to bring back the fun. So, and it's little things. They don't, you know, have to cost a lot of money. The Ice Cream Social was very simple, and we had our management team serving the employees, so that's, you know, tying in the servant leadership aspect of our culture, and it was fun, it was relaxed, it wasn't, you know, a scripted event or anything like that. We've also instituted Fun Fridays, so whether that's taking a silly photo with your department or your best friend and us posting it on our digital signage, people wearing Hawaiian shirts, things of that nature. We actually had a group of our engineers, one person in their department always wears a tie every day, and they know they would never get him in a Hawaiian shirt. So for Fun Friday, everyone else in the department wore a white shirt and a tie to honor him and take a fun picture and just kind of have fun in that way. So we're doing all sorts of things. We also have a new program where employees with various talents and skills are able to share those with their peers through about half-hour sessions. So we've had a ukulele class. We've had a glass etching class. We're going to have a how to be an extreme couponer, those types of things where we're kind of tapping our employees to say, what do you know? What would you want to share? What do you do that's interesting, that's outside of your work that other people can learn from? So, and as well as getting to know people that you don't normally interact with day to day.
That's a great idea, because also just underlining that servant leadership difference, it's a getting to know the whole person, right?
Yes.
Not just they're an engineer or, you know, they're in the accounting department or what have you. you know, they have other interests. And the more that you get to know them, the happier the environment at the workplace, don't you think?
Oh, definitely, definitely.
How would you describe servant leadership? That's such a big question. Everybody has a different way of expressing it, which I love. And so it's my favorite question.
It is a big question. And it's the way I usually describe it to, say, someone coming in for an interview or someone who's never heard of servant leadership before is using the inverted pyramid example. So you take a regular power model company and it's the CEO is at the top and they direct everything and everyone's below them. And you flip that upside down and now the CEO and the senior management, they're supporting the employees. And so I think that's, I'm a visual person, so I think that kind of puts a visual in people's minds and makes the concept a little bit easier to grasp. But I also just describe it as, you know, kind of the golden rule. Treat people how you want to be treated. If you treat employees with dignity and respect, they're going to be more engaged. They're going to be happier to come work for you. And it really recognizes the importance of every employee. So it's not just about the organization, it's about the employees and how they contribute to the success of the organization.
Yeah, that's a great description. I think that so much of a servant leader is what many will call level five leader. It's the best of the best. So there's many best practices of a servant leader.
Right.
That pertain to all, you know, great leaders in many ways. However, there is that difference in the mindset that you are there to serve. So you can have great other wonderful practices, but it's even harder from the standpoint that one walks into the office every day or their work environment and say, how can I bring value today? Who can I help? Who can I serve? And that's a very empowering practice. Mm-hmm. It's not soft in the way that it takes a conscious practice like you would do anything over and over and over to get better. Does that resonate with you?
Yeah, I think there's some people where it comes more naturally to them. They're just born servant leaders. It's just who they are. And they've always been that way since they were little. And then there's other people who've had to change their mindset. And so it takes a little bit more of a daily deliberate practice.
That's a great point, because you can get better at this if it's not natural to you, but you feel there's a value, which we
yes.
think there are many, then you begin, you know, just like anything, one foot in front of the other and practice it. Some people are natural at it. They'll come to you when they're hired, I know, and say, wow, I found my home. I've always had this in me, and I have a place that I can express it. And others, well, this is interesting. I'm not sure about this. And some people, just not for them, and that's
right.
Okay, too.
Yes.
Let's explore the HR world and servant leadership, because this is an area that is a hot topic and how it works. What's the difference? And so if we look at your key areas, you're involved in hiring, retention, and when you have to exit employees. And so I'm really curious how you would express that difference and show us some of the practices that you, being, you know, the manager of employee engagement at a servant-led organization, what are your practices? Let's start with the hiring piece. How is that different as a servant-led organization does that process?
Well, we definitely, and we've learned this through doing it the opposite way, is that a person's character is more important than their competencies in some areas. So you could have the best, the brightest person with all the degrees in the world, and their character, they just don't have servant leadership in their character, and nobody wants to work with them. They make it difficult to work with them, and they're not happy. Their peers aren't happy. Their managers aren't happy. So we've kind of learned that the hard way. When I first joined Datron in 2008, we had an issue with that, but we've gotten better. We've realized that, yes, of course, we want competent employees with the skills that we need to get the job done, but we also need someone who is going to fit in with the culture, because if they don't fit, they're not going to be as productive, their peers aren't going to be as productive, it's going to cause issues that distract from getting the work done. So we definitely look for competent people first. You know, that I think that's kind of like the baseline. Do they have the skills? Do they have the experience? And then through the interview process, and typically we have a candidate meet with myself, meet with the hiring manager, meet with at least one peer that they'll be working with, and then maybe their senior manager, so that we can all gauge the servant leadership aspect from different areas and ask questions that are important to us in the different ways we'll be interacting with this person, to really gauge and see, are they going to be a good fit? And some people, their skills can be top notch, and
you're like, oh,
you know, they're just not going to work in this culture, and we have to pass and keep looking. And in some cases, it could take 6 months or more to find the right person. But when we find the right person, we know it, and everyone's really happy, and it's worth the wait.
I think you said several really important things just now, and that is that if a company knows who they are, what their culture is, that you want to match to that culture and find a culture fit, in addition to, of course, the job description and the competencies that are required for that position. But that's knowing it when a company knows itself. And you might be criticized for that, like, oh, I went on this interview at Datron, they asked me all these different questions. But that's okay, because, you know, you'll know too if you're a fit or not.
Right. Right. Yeah, and that's what, you know, some people are a little taken aback when we ask about what they know about servant leadership. And that's, we don't expect someone to have been practicing this for the last 10 years and be an expert at it. What we want to do is make sure they're aware of what servant leadership is, how it applies to Datron and our culture, and that they would be comfortable in that environment. Because I think what a lot of candidates don't realize is that they're interviewing us too. And we may not be a good fit, and that's okay. We really just want to make sure that they're aware going in of our culture and the different things around that, so they can make an informed decision as well.
Yeah, it really goes both ways. And so I say kudos to Datron for sticking to who they are and finding those right people. That's so important for everybody listening there. If you are involved in that process of hiring, how important it is to get a match on your values, as a company, your mission, your purpose, that you feel people are aligned, that are potential, you know, candidates for the position with that. And it's, you know, fantastic when it works. And that leads us to retention. If you find the right person, the right fit across the board, logically to think they're going to stay longer, right?
Yes, definitely. Employees who are happy and engaged and feel that they're growing, they're learning, and they're contributing to the success of the organization are typically going to stay longer. Now, I know with the new millennial generation, there's the statistic where I think they stay 2 years and they move on. I think that could be the case, but if there's a career path for them and they're able to grow and learn and stay engaged and try new things and even work in areas that aren't in their area of expertise. So I think that's important to just kind of switch it up, and employees can stay a lot longer than the statistics say.
Absolutely. And so I think that's another, the servant leadership difference, if you will, that if you know your people, know what inspires them, get to know their, not only their precision at their job, but other interests as well, and engage them when possible, that gives them more excitement in the job, and they want to stay. I mean, we have some good examples of millennials staying past that statistic as well. And I think most companies do, if they're really intentional about, you know, providing a track for them, a growth track and a roadmap, if you will.
Right, right. Yeah. And in different areas, just because you start out on an assembly line doesn't mean that you only have to stay in assembly. If you are interested in other areas, in purchasing and even reception or human resources, we can find different paths for you based on what you want to do.
Yeah, I love how you described employee engagement, and that piece is being along there all the way for an employee beyond just policies and here's your benefits and 401ks and all that piece that naturally goes with it. But it is about inspiring them beyond, hey, you always wanted to do this, let's see if we can help you get there. So that's fantastic. The other part that's always hard for anybody in HR, I'm sure, is that exiting for various reasons. Mm-hmm. And when you said Datron's bringing back the fun, the company, like many companies, have gone through its share of ups and downs and had to do layoffs, and it's always challenging, right?
Right.
And through a servant leadership lens, describe what is the difference when a company has to go through that downsizing process.
Well, I think another piece to that is transparency, and Datron has always been transparent. So when we were facing hard times, cash crunches, not a positive forecast, we shared that with our employees. So when we had to do reductions, it may have come as a surprise to the employee that they themselves were being let go, but not that a reduction was happening. So we didn't necessarily announce we're going to be laying off 25 people next week, but we were transparent about the market conditions and the health of the company financially and the orders and that sort of thing, so that people weren't surprised. They understood. They may have been sad that it was themselves losing their job and all the personal worries that come with that, but they weren't surprised that it was happening. And I've been very humbled with the reductions. I think we had done about 4 pretty large ones over about a 2-year period a couple years back. And I had people who were losing their job apologizing to me saying, "I'm so sorry you have to let people go today."
Wow.
And that just blew me away because I still have my job. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I cried on the way home because it was very humbling, but I also think it represents the servant leadership culture at Datron and how those people, even though they've just been dealt a blow that's so serious to them, they're still concerned and compassionate about my role. And so it was just amazing. And that happened.
That is amazing.
It multiple times during each layoff. So it's really humbling.
Yeah, it sure is. I can't imagine being, you know, doing that type of job. But it is about the health of the company overall. Sometimes these things have to take place. And what I hear you saying is the transparency when you don't have to. Datron
right.
isn't a public company.
Right.
So in that case, you don't have to disclose all the financials and the information. So being honest with people is a character of being a servant leader.
Yeah.
Know? And a very important one.
Another way that I try to help employees, whether they're resigning or being let go, is to let them know that I am here as to help them transition. So whether it's their COBRA insurance or if they have questions about filing for unemployment or even a reference for a future position or their 401k. Maybe they have questions on that 2 years after they leave. I let them know, call me, I can help you, I can answer your questions, I can help guide you in the right direction. Just because the employment relationship has ended doesn't mean that our help and assistance completely goes away.
Exactly. I think as the CEO Art Barter says, you know, we cared about those people while they were employees. We don't stop caring. And
right.
I love that. I think that is so refreshing in our world today for sure. You know, going through that difficult time, what kind of observations did you make? I'm, you know, that's kind of a tough time to go through. I'm so happy to hear all the good news and uptick for Datron these days. And, you know, you're a survivor, too, to go through this and still be smiling and looking, you know, how to engage employees today. And it's a different, you know, company in some ways, not from its all standard, you know, set of who they are, but just things change, you know, smaller workforce. And what are your key, you know, observations through all this as you look back on it?
Well, I'd also been at my previous company, which had the servant leadership components to it. When things got hard financially and the market, it was like 2007, 2008, was bad for a lot of companies. The culture was the first thing to go, and because it was superficial. With Datron, although it's been stressful and trying at times, the culture has always been there. And what I've noticed is that the, you know, stress can bring out that those old power model behaviors in people, but the employees are quick to recognize that, oh my goodness, I defaulted back to a behavior that I don't want to have. They apologize for it, they're accountable, and they try to get better in the future. So that's the difference. Instead of just acting like this is how, you know, we should act as this power model because it's stressful, they're acknowledging that wasn't okay, I'm sorry to, you know, whoever they need to apologize for, and just get better and try not to do that in the future. So I think a little bit of the fun goes away when you're stressed and people are worried about reductions, and as well as doing more with less is hard. So one person is now doing the job of two, sometimes three.
Very common.
I know
today.
In my role that happened to me. We had a large HR department, and right now it's just myself. So it's figuring, prioritizing what's important and still taking care of the employees has been challenging, but I think the culture really supports doing the right thing.
Well, you're a great example of that because you have been very consistent, you know, through that and work. And that's, you're working on yourself all the time, too.
Right.
I think a servant leader can't do enough self-awareness. You know, just when you think you got it, you run into another roadblock inside going, okay, let's tackle this one. So I applaud you for that consistent heart that you showed as a leader at Datron.
And thank you.
They're well served by having you in that position for sure. The other thing I was wondering about is just what advice you would give to someone looking to go into, we'll say HR for the whole HR profession. Any advice that you would have as far as what you're thinking about the profession these days, areas to focus on, and then also if you're in an HR role, but the company doesn't have a servant-led culture, a service-oriented way, do you feel they can still make a difference if it's not something that's, you know, really a buy-in from the top, if you will?
I think if you're going to go into the HR field, you really need to like people. I've been at different seminars where the questions coming from the people in the crowd are about, oh, the employees want this, and now they're going to expect that. And it's not coming from a service mind. HR is like internal customer service for any organization. So you need to have you need to like people, you need to like to work with them, you need to have that service mindset, because that's what your role is. And it's so frustrating to me when I hear stories of a human resources department that was not helpful, that had their door closed, that wouldn't answer their phone, wouldn't return emails. It blows my mind. So that's important.
That's key. I love that advice.
And can you say the follow-up?
Sure. So the other part is just, do you feel you can make a difference if you're in an HR department, but you don't have the gift you have of your CEO embracing the culture? This is, you know, what he wants to see. So what do you do if you're in that position, you want to make a difference, you want to start practicing this, or you already are? Do you feel you can make a difference if it's just you in a department?
Oh, definitely. I think you can serve employees, so help them any way that you can, and also be their advocate. If the senior management wants to put forth a policy that is detrimental to employees, stand up, speak out to the best that you can, and let them see the side of how it's going to affect employees negatively. And you have to balance the needs of the organization with the needs of employees. And I'm lucky that at Datron, those line up. It makes my job easy.
That is great.
If I ever think, oh, what should I do in this situation? I just have to look at our values and know that as long as I'm doing the right thing for the right reasons, mm-hmm. it's going to be appreciated, and senior management is going to understand why I made a decision, as long as it follows.
It was an alignment.
Yeah, so I think it's definitely more difficult if you don't have that support from your senior staff management team, but you can still make a difference, and the employees are going to appreciate it.
That's great advice, and we certainly get asked that question a lot at the Institute. How can I do this servant leadership thing when my boss doesn't really believe in it? And what we find is when people practice it, something changes in a department, and sometimes that means all eyes are, what is that department doing differently? They're doing so well, or people are having a good time and happy and getting things done better, what have you. So I do think, you know, it is, and you can make a difference. Just that one person even can truly positively affect an environment.
Right. It's the circle of influence. So you touch different people in your role, and they're going to see how you behave, and they're going to they're going to change the way they do based on their interactions with you, as long as, you know, it's positive.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we always talk about the power of the story, you know, the power of stories, and that says so much more than we could talk forever about servant leadership. But I'm wondering if you have any couple favorite stories about servant leadership that you've seen in your environment.
Well, I think my favorite is the one I shared earlier about employees being let go, and how that humbled me with them apologizing to me for having to let them go. But another one that happened at the beginning of my career at my previous company is I was just out of college, and I think everyone's kind of, you know, finding their way when they're in that position and not too accountable. They want to make excuses. They don't want to get in trouble. And I was operating in that mode. So if something would go wrong, I would make an excuse or point a finger. And my supervisor at the time had a courageous conversation with me, and I'm so glad she did, where she said, I need you to be accountable. I understand people make mistakes, and that's fine. That's how you learn. That's how you grow. But I need you to be responsible and accountable for your mistakes, correct your mistakes, and do whatever you can not to make that same mistake again. And that was such a powerful conversation. She was such a great servant leader, and she also, you know, behaved in that way herself, so I could follow that example. And that just, a light bulb came on for me, and I've done my best to be accountable since that point, and also impress upon that same concept to employees that I interact with, whether it's a receptionist or an HR assistant. Just be accountable. I understand mistakes are okay. People need to understand that. That's how you learn. But you also need to take responsibility for your errors and learn from them. So that's probably personally a story that stuck with me forever.
Yeah, it had such an impact. And also it underlines a very important difference with servant leadership. Of course, a servant leader has to hold those that they lead accountable. It's in the how they do that, right, that makes all the difference. So you can diminish somebody and make them feel really lousy in holding them accountable, or you can inspire them, be a multiplier, as we talked with Liz Wiseman taught us, and do it in such a way like this manager did with you, that you were inspired to be better, and now you've carried that for years. So that's a great example of a servant leadership difference. It's in the how, the behaviors of a servant leader. And we have 9 behaviors at the Institute. And if you go to our website, you can take a look at those behaviors. I don't know if you have one in particular, Melissa, that resonates with you that you'd like to talk about that you're working on, or you feel just is always a go-to behavior as you think about it.
I think live your transformation is the most important. So people are going to watch you, see how you behave, especially if you're in an organization where you're bringing this new idea in. They're going to really watch you very closely to see, is this authentic? Are you really living your transformation? And if you can show them that, yes, you are, and if you do stumble, be accountable for that, that is going to just go so far with the people you're trying to lead and influence.
It's interesting you selected that one, because that probably is most important in your position. And I can tell you, by watching you for many years, you do walk the talk. And that is so important in your position, because you wouldn't be authentic. You wouldn't be believable. People wouldn't trust you if the HR department itself is not practicing this. So great job there. And thanks today for being with us and sharing your insights on servant leadership. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And many of you may have more questions for Melissa, so I want to encourage you to send those questions to info@servantleadershipinstitute.com. That's info@servantleadershipinstitute.com, and we'll forward that to you if it's okay.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Because I bet there's a lot of questions out there for people. We're super excited to have you here today, and thanks again for sharing all your knowledge and experience, and thank you for the great work you're doing at Datron.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we encourage you to tune in to our other podcasts as we hear from people who are actively involved in the business of creating healthy workplaces grounded in servant leadership. We invite you to join us in person for our next Servant Leadership Experience on October 14, 2016 at Concordia University in Irvine, California, where we will present Servant Leadership at the Speed of Trust, a half-day event with Servant Leadership Implementer Art Barter and Stephen M.R. Covey, Trust Expert and author of The Speed of Trust. For more information about the event or the Servant Leadership Institute, see our website at www.servantleadershipinstitute.com or email us at info@servantleadershipinstitute.com. Thanks for listening and allowing us to add value to your day.